They say you can tell a man by the company he keeps. If that's true, then Talib Kweli's records speak volumes. The hip-hop star has teamed up with some of music's brightest lights. In 1998, he and Mos Def formed the duo Black Star. Their album, produced by High Tech, became an underground sensation. Kweli then got a little help from Kanye West on the track Get By from his 2002 album Quality. The single scored big and landed Kweli on the soundtrack of the box office hit Stomp the Yard. Well, High Tech and Kanye are both back on Kweli's new album, Eardrum, along with KRS-One, Gene Gray, and Roy Ayers. And Talib Kweli's with me now in studio. Talib, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me, Farah.
Yeah, so I remember years ago I read from Don't Believe the Hype, my first book at Nkiru, which you started. So tell me a little bit about how you see your music side relating to your community involvement side.
Well, having that job at Nkiru was perfect for me, and I actually sought out that job. I was in NYU, and I wanted to quit school and do music, but I knew that if I did that, I would have to have a job and an apartment before I told my parents I quit. So I walked around to every single book and music store in the city until I got a job, and CJ at Nkiru hired me. And you know, and when you came through for your signing, she was very excited, because to see a young Black woman who looked like her that she'd identify with, was that was huge for us when you came through. Like, it might have been like years ago for you, but for us it was like, oh, Farai's coming.
No, no, you know? I was psyched.
We were psyched too. Nkiru allowed me to pay my bills and still participate in that community.
Let's hear a little bit from this record. This is Oh My Stars featuring Music Soul Child.
And featuring my kids, Amani and Deani, who rap on the beginning.
Ask my daughter how it looks. She fixed my hat so I could wear it cool, cause she's like, that's what you wear in school. Then she asked me, Daddy, you know any superstars? I looked at her and said, stop being silly, that's where you two are. I'll say it now and I've said it before, and you can trust me on this, cause I've been through it, y'all. Follow your heart and you can do it all, babe.
So yeah, your kids. This is about your kids. It features your kids.
Uh-huh.
How does it feel to involve the next generation?
It feels good. I don't want to limit my daughter and my son to what I do for a living. They enjoy hip-hop music. My son writes lyrics, and he keeps...
How old is he?
He's 11. He's always asking me when he could get in the studio. And he, you know, he writes these rhymes. So I said, well, all right, well, go in the studio and lay that rhyme.
Freestyle for me, myself, and I rhymes on the paper till they get sky.
And his sister, she follows whatever he does. So she came in there and she kicked the rhyme. She already knows all his rhymes by heart. So they in there doing it together.
I'm the best superstar on BET.
How would you describe your music? Do you have a description of what you'd call your music? Conscious?
I stay away from the titles of conscious, just like a gangster rapper should stay away from the title of gangster. There's consciousness in my music, and my music comes from a conscious place. And when people say that, I certainly take it as a compliment. But my job in terms of selling my music is to be universal and to try to get it to everybody. So I don't like that discussion, because it separates and is destructive to hip-hop, I think.
Chuck D of Public Enemy once said that hip-hop was the CNN of Black America, and you recently, in a track off your new album called Say Something, brought Barack Obama into play.
Blacksmith music, if you don't pay homage, I'ma show you how we break an artist. That's a threat, I'm not making a promise. Speak to the people like Barack Obama, they worship like Black Madonna, come on.
So what do you think about the whole idea that there's this form of communication through hip-hop about politics? Mm-hmm. Is it important to you?
My personal take on politics is I deal with social situations and cultural situations in my music and in my life. I have said on record many times that I haven't voted. I'm not the type of person who says I'm never going to vote. I think it's clear to me that our system has failed us. It's a shame, because so many people fought and died for our right to vote. So it's an absolute shame that the system has failed us this greatly. But at the same time, because of the failure of the system, it's impossible for a candidate that resonates with me to get to that level. And Barack Obama is the first person who's even come close.
It sounds like you're really saying that not voting for anyone is better than voting for someone that you see as the lesser of two evils or three evils or five evils.
I definitely, without a doubt, believe in that. And my mother, she's probably going to listen to this and be really mad at me because I said it, because she disagrees with me. She believes in voting for the lesser of two evils. And I think that's a generational thing. I think that I'm seeing the internet and seeing technology take and seeing how the work I do through music directly affects people's lives better than any politician I've ever met. And so my life experience was not standing on the front lines fighting for the right to vote. My life experience is like, okay, we got the right to vote, but because people's minds aren't at the place where they know what they're voting for, no one knows these issues or who they're voting for.
Let me go also to your, I guess, financial politics. In 2006, you played with the Roots on the Jazz Philosophy Tour. The tour was sponsored by Cool Cigarettes. Do you ever regret doing that, or was it a mixed message for you about what you believe in?
I've had my issues with that, and I have fans who certainly hit me up on MySpace and check me on stuff like that. I'll tell you what the facts of the matter is from my perspective. I don't get paid to sell music. I've never had a platinum album, so I'm not living off of record sales. I perform in nightclubs that have huge sponsorship deals with liquor companies. I'm on stage. They're pouring drinks. People are smoking cigarettes. So to me, it's hypocritical to not take that check and say, if that's the case, then I don't need to perform in no more nightclubs anymore. I'm not going to do a cool ad where I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm not going to work for their company. But if they're paying me to do what I do, then, yeah, I have no problems. I got over that a long time ago.
Well, let's take a listen to another of your songs called Eat to Live.
My rhymes got nutritional value. I get it how I live. It's critical when the conditions allow you. Do you and trust the critics who doubt you. Try to write shit about you, but they can't make a living without you. Go hungry. You gotta watch what the media feeds you, and don't be a poison animal. Eat it neither. It's harder than it sounds.
So when you think about a song, Eat to Live, in some ways, it's much more idealistic than what you were just talking about. The art, the commerce, and how they blend. How do you combine your idealistic side with this other side of you, which, as you're explaining, is like, look, I got to eat to live on a very different level.
Right, definitely. Your mind state when you're an artist recording in the studio, for me, it has to be different than my mind state as a CEO trying to put my record out and compete in a marketplace. So when I'm in the studio, I'm strictly thinking about the beats, the rhymes, and the song. The decisions I make once the songs are created and there's a barcode put on the package and I'm out there in the street selling it, those decisions as a businessman are different than the creative decisions you make. I did a in-store where a kid came up to me and said, yo, if you feel these ways, why don't you just exist outside the system? And my answer to him was, I do. I put out mixtapes, I do shows, I put out an album, Liberation with Madlib, I put it on the internet for free. I called it Liberation. What else? How much more out of the system can I exist? He's like, well, you should only do that. You shouldn't have a deal with Warner Brothers. You shouldn't do these other things. I'm like, okay, that sounds good, but you wouldn't be standing in line for me to sign your CD if I didn't do these things. I have my foot in both worlds, and I do believe in that. I believe that in order for a revolution to happen, it has to happen on every level. Music doesn't coincide with business. That's why they don't get along. That's why kids steal artists' music and don't feel guilty about it. I've had my music stolen so many different times, but what you have to do is you have to harness it. And it can't beat them, join them, but not in the defeatist sense, in terms of just acknowledging the trends and being fluid with how you do your business.
Talib, thanks so much.
Thank you, Farai.
Talib Kweli's new album, Eardrum, drops today. He sat down with me here in our NPR West studios. For extended audio of my interview with Talib Kweli, check out our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.